not the boring, generic, milquetoast stuff coming from the network in Connecticut.
I'd describe him as the best, obviously.
Cattles.
He throws it out there, speaks his mind, that's cool.
And Rami.
He's supposed to make people laugh. He's just an expert at it.
Cattles and Rami. Live and local in the afternoon.
Sactown Sports.
There it is. I was having some headphone issues. It is Cattles and Rami. It is a Friday. The Cattles half of that. He'll be back on Monday in the co-host chair. Once again, this afternoon is the one, the only Jay Johnson. Jay, how are we this
Friday
afternoon?
Friday night.
Oh, man. It feels good.
Come on now.
We got Simone on the other side of the glass once again, doing it all.
Yes,
once
she is.
Again, I'm feeling a little better today, but I'm at that stage where the voice gets squeaky at times. So this could be a very interesting Friday here on the Cattles.
My Lord, brother. You're going through all kind of little elements right now, my man.
Yes, I am. Yes,
Sweating off pounds.
I think this is the last of it. I think I'm getting out the last of it today, and certainly by Monday. I think I'll be back to 100%.
Oh, I know you are.
I'll be ready to go.
I'm not wishing. I know.
I'm ready to go today.
Nah, boy.
Quite frankly, we got a lot to talk about after the NBA draft yesterday. Not all NBA today, but it'll be NBA heavy. Of course, we go on the record at 3:30 as we do every Friday, and one of my favorite things to do every week in other news to close out the show.
Ooh.
But that's way off. That's at 5:45. Just want to know to start things off. How'd you like what the Kings did last night? 800-920-1140. You can always text the show, 916-339-1140, and comment over there at the YouTube page, youtube.com/SactownSports. Give us those likes while you're there. Subscribe, rate, review, do all the things to help us grow this thing.
All the above. Yeah, check the box D.
Yes, sir. Of course, Monty McNair spoke after the draft yesterday and talked about this. This put him, he thinks, in a pretty good position moving forward.
But I can talk about Colby, who was obviously a productive and smart utility player, a defender, a two-way player, somebody that we're really excited to add to the culture that Mike, myself, and the rest of us are building here. Really a winner. Won almost two-thirds of his games at Xavier. So we're excited to bring him in. Also excited to welcome Jalen Slosson to the Kings. Jalen was the SoCon Player of the Year this year, Defensive Player of the Year, I believe 2 years ago. So excited to bring those two guys into our organization.
There he is talking about the two young men that the Kings drafted last night. He also talked about the flexibility that the Kings now have after dealing Rashawn Holmes and the 24th pick, which opens up about $30 million in cap space this summer.
We always value the optionality and flexibility when we can acquire it. We've got, I think, a really – this was a great season, for a lot of reasons. We want to have a long playoff run here and continue to compete. And to do that in today's NBA, you have to be able to build your team out, not just in the very near term, but over the course of many years. And so – we're always having that balance, right? Well, what can we do to add to the team now, but how does that affect what we can do going forward? So we think, what we were able to do tonight, what we've done going back to the deadline in past years will give us a lot of options, not just this summer, but as we get into next year.
So, Jay, they move out of the 24th pick, but they also move out from under the contract of Rashawn Holmes, and they draft Colby Jones and Jalen Slosson. How'd you feel about what your Kings did last
night? Well, first things first, let me say this.
Mm-hmm.
I saw the Rashawn Holmes jersey. I think it's behind me. Oh, no,
it's
to the side.
Already,
to the
right they already of me. Took it down off the wall.
Yeah,
man.
I saw it last night. Chris and Co. and Jay Ross, they had it behind them, during the draft show.
Uh-huh.
And once Rashawn was traded. I don't know Rashawn personally. I've had an opportunity to be around him at the facilities, Golden
Sure.
One. He's come in here. He's brought his family in here. He's had a couple of interviews right here at this very desk on these very mics. I believe he was sitting right there for the two times that I've seen him here. Absolute fantastic cat.
That's everything I hear about him.
I mean, one of the dopest brothers you ever gonna meet, my man. And to go through something that he went through over the last couple of seasons,
mm-hmm.
And to the best of my knowledge, never complained, Never said anything negative.
Always a pro.
Always a pro. But I'm also talking about off the court, Rami, because I sit in this chair having gone through something that Rashawn went through off the court when it comes to children and custody and all that type of stuff, right? And so with that being said, I just want to take my hat off to that brother. I want to take my hat off to Rashawn Holmes. I want to take my hat off to the Holmes family, Mama Holmes, Papa Holmes. His brother has always been a solid cat every single time I get to shake his hand and meet him. I want to make sure they get their praise when it comes to the Sacramento community, first and foremost. With that being said, $35 million in cap space.
Talk to me.
$35 million in cap space. 12.4 on the MLE, 12 on the TPE. If I'm calculating that correct, Rami, look, we know capologists, and I know we got people here like Kyle Ledbetter. That's all they do. I'm the worst at it.
I will be the first to raise my hand and say I do not understand NBA salary cap. I start reading that stuff.
I've been having Kyle explain it for the last 2 hours to me, and
Tell me how much money they have to spend and how much players are going to cost. Can we just keep it simple?
Keep it simple.
Yeah, keep it simple.
You got a 12 over here, a 12.4 here, and a 35 point something here. I'm going to say that, right?
Fine.
You know what that means?
I think.
Okay. Big money. Okay. No whammies.
Good.
Okay? Big money's no whammies. That's what I'm talking about right here for the Sacramento Kings.
All right.
Options are at an abundance, Rami. I mean, look, options are always better than none. One thing I teach my daughter all the time is this. You always have an option in life. It might not be the one you want to go for. It might not be the one that's correct. But there's always going to be a time in everything you do that you're going to have an option. I don't care if someone has a harmful, piece of machinery next to your body. It doesn't matter. The fact of it is you still have an option at that very moment. Options are in abundance right now, Rami. I mean, come on, brother. I'd rather have an option than none.
Yes, sir. So I get the impression you're happy with what they did last night.
Oh, come on. I'm big time. Sign me up. Because you know what it is this. Options makes differences.
We said we wanted them to trade it. And we were talking about trading it for a player, getting a player in return. But they did that. You know what I mean? By just freeing up the money and the player that they can go and get in free agency now when it starts in a week. They basically traded Rashawn Holmes, got his money off the books and got traded that pick, but they brought in a player through the money that they freed up who they'll go and it's a player to be determined, essentially, who you'll try and get on the free agent market. It's exactly what we were looking for yesterday.
Absolutely,
Jay.
Love it.
Go get somebody who can help you today.
That's right. And powerful. Yep. I use the words powerful and impactful.
Mm-hmm.
Go grab me someone or two now. Mm-hmm. Look, now we have options.
Mm-hmm.
Or two or maybe even three if you want to get jazzy. You know, if you really want to get out there and get your flyness on. I mean, you have an opportunity at this point, and this is the great part about it, is, and I keep going back to my guy Lance Woods, funny comedian here out of Sacramento, super Kings fan. You see him all the time. Been a part of the show, friend of the show, friend of the network. In Monty, we trust. Now it's time for us to sit back, relax, and see what Monty does with options.
You know that's not going to happen. People don't sit back and relax.
It never happens.
Now everybody's like, what do we do with the money?
Hey, those are the folks right there. Man, you need to go take a couple accounting classes. Learn how to save, as they say, for a rainy day. Get your 401k up, your IRA up, you know, all these different things. I mean, we could go into a whole lot of different situations. You want to come learn how to dabble with some funds, come talk to your boy Jay. I'm talking to you.
And Jay, I like what they did with the picks.
Yes.
Now, I'm always transparent about this. Not the biggest college basketball guy. You know what I mean?
I would have never thought it.
But one thing, born on the same day as Mike Bibby's shot, the biggest shot in Kings history, some might argue, in the Western Conference Finals, and a guy who I trust, John Hollinger. I checked out his scouting report today, and this is what he said. And this sounds like a lot of things that the Kings need, Jay. A passer and a playmaker, reads the game quickly, has counters and touch as a scorer, really good defender.
Yes.
He says not quite a potential all-NBA defender, but one who will be strong, quick, and switchable on a variety of different matchups. Also sharp as a team defender, even if there are some random gambles from time to time. He says it all comes down to him being able to knock down 38% of his threes on about five attempts or so per game. And he said he hit about 42% of his catch and shoot threes last season. Mm-hmm. And we know if you're gonna get anything in the Kings offense off of what De'Aaron Fox and Domantas Sabonis are opening up for you, it's going to be those catch and shoot threes. That's what Keegan Murray benefited from. That's what Kevin Huerter benefited greatly from. And Jay, 3 years at Xavier, he comes in as NBA ready as a second round pick probably might be. Sounds like a guy could come in and help him right now and play a role. Maybe a small one to begin, but maybe it grows from there.
Both of the guys, I mean, Jalen Swanson being a fifth-year senior, both of the guys coming in are ready-made guys, you know, ready-made prospects, something that Chris Watkins has talked about a few times on this network about. He wants someone who can step right in a la Keegan, a la looks like his brother, you know, someone that the league considers old at this point at 22 years old and 23 years old, 21. It's like, you're old? I mean, just because you have a 2 in front of your number, you're old in the NBA. I can only come out when I'm 19, Mr. Silver, and scouts and media report. You know, it's crazy. But I like the fact that they went for proven prospects. Mm-hmm. Someone that you kind of know what you're getting. We can probably teach you a few more things. Who knows? You know, kind of. I saw somebody put this, and I don't know how close this is, and I got it in my notes here. It was Kevin O'Connor. Kevin O'Connor compared Kobe Jones to Bruce Brown without the quickness. Mm. If you're giving me Bruce Brown, I'll take that. I'll take that.
Yeah, I will definitely take
right
that.
Right now.
I mean, I wanted them to
and
go
you're not going to have to pay the Bruce Brown number. Right?
Yeah,
I
for
mean,
sure.
Yeah.
And Bruce Brown at not a Bruce Brown price.
Oh, of course.
Yes, sir.
You know, Bruce Brown's probably looking for double figures, 10 and more. He got 6.9 last year. But I'm just saying when it comes to that, I love what they did. Love the options. Love the money.
Yep. Jay, remember when I said people are already freaking out about what Monty might do with the money?
I get it, man.
It's exactly what we're going to talk about next. Right here, Kettles and Robbie.
$1 million
in
cat
space.
Kettles
and Rami.
Sactown Sports. Your afternoon home for Kings Talk and more.
This is Kettles and Rami
on Sactown Sports.
It ain't nothing but a party, Rami.
That's right here. It's Friday. On the Kettles and Rami show. That's Jay, Simone on the other side of the glass. I'm the Rami half of Kettles and Rami on post-NBA Draft Friday. You can get in on the show, always, 800-920-1140 is how you can call. Text 916-339-1140. Comment over there on the YouTube page, youtube.com/SacktownSports. And make sure you give us those likes, subscribe, do all the stuff. While you're there, Dwayne Baker says, JJ, I've got an all blacked out A's hat that I'm wearing
man,
all
where you cop
season.
That? Where'd you cop that, Dwayne? I need one of those, brother. This is the closest I have.
Let him know,
I think
bro.
I have an all black A's hat, but this
That's
was
all
the
black, isn't it? Except for the other side.
Yeah,
of the
yeah, I got some.
Oh, so the logo.
Yeah, the
also.
Logo still emerald green or whatever it was.
Jay, I think I also have a Juneteenth A's hat for you. Definitely pass along.
Wait.
I got
it
last year.
Really?
Last year because of our partnership.
Oh, mm-hmm. Why you holding out on me, Simone?
Yes. Okay. Also, I need to give you your flowers. Someone just called in between the break saying that you're doing such a good job and that he really loves you being on the show.
Hey, man, shouts out to that gentleman, that esteemed gentleman. Absolutely, man. I love it.
And David says, I can't wait to see Monty at a Kings championship parade.
Oh,
he better
goodness.
Go harder than Mike Malone.
Oh, my God.
No one is going to go harder than Simone. Let's just start there.
I might agree with that. I've always said if anybody, the A's, the Niners, you know, if they win, I'm going J.R. Smith. I'm shirt off all summer.
All day.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, gotta go shirt
off. I told Berlad, carry me when I can no longer walk.
That apple cider gonna have you to the left, huh?
Like we said, last night the Kings opened up about $30 million in cap space with the Rashawn Holmes trade. And immediately people started speculating as to what they will do with all that money, including Brian Windhorst on ESPN.
Okay, I want to go back to the Kings.
You got to figure out what's going on in Sacramento.
You know, and Pelton, you know, give Pelton credit here. Pelton mentioned this. Mike Brown is extraordinarily close to Draymond Green. Extraordinarily close. Mike Brown was the Draymond Green whisperer with the Warriors.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Draymond Green is a free agent. They now have the money if they want to give him a premium over what he opted out of in Golden State.
Okay.
Now, I do believe that Draymond wants to be a Warrior. And I do believe that the trade for Jordan Poole today puts the Warriors in good position to be able to keep their books in a fashion where they can keep Draymond and keep Klay Thompson if they both sign contracts that are pay cuts or at least mildly flat to where they are. But the Kings can now go hunting for Draymond Green if they wish. And that would be extraordinarily interesting because it is the exact type of player that they need, and there's be interesting with Sabonis. That would be interesting first practice.
The fans would have to do something.
That would
change
be
their
an
opinion.
Extraordinarily interesting situation. Holy Moses.
I could just talk about that clip.
Yes.
Wendy's energy. Yep. He was just tired at that point. It was late in the night. And then who decided to put that music over it? But that's neither here nor there. We're gonna focus on the content of it. And he's not the only one, Jay. That's from Jay Hollinger at The Athletic today. The Kings are now looking at having over $30 million in cap room that it could use to chase an upgrade at power forward spot if they let Harrison Barnes leave in free agency. I think it's really important to note that they have an opening at power forward and have a former Warriors coach, have an owner obsessed with the Warriors, and they need to improve on defense, and Draymond Green is an unrestricted free agent. Was this money freed up for Draymond Green?
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And I put the in front of the no just for the dramatic Brian Windhorst pause or, you know, the slowness of Brian. No, I think it just opened up options. Again, the possibilities, Rami. I'm pretty sure they have their eye on a few, you know, good men, a few good people, a few good ball players. But I'm not going to go on a limb and say this money was exactly opened up for Draymond Green. I think it was opened up for the type of person, the type of ilk of who Draymond Green can present to the Sacramento Kings. No matter if you like him or no matter if you hate him, no matter if you agree with the fit, no matter if you disagree with the fit, the ilk of who Draymond Green is what the Kings opened up this money for. And we've had Draymond conversations. I have a plethora, a list of what he does great. I have a few things that he does, you know, probably not to the best of his ability, but I think you would be foolish if you didn't at least pick up the phone. And the word of the day, this is like Sesame Street, Rami. Options, brother. It's options. Give me Count Dracula out this thing. Options. That's all I'm saying. And I think Draymond Green is an option.
And I would be in on him, man. I mean, I don't know if he's at the top of my list. You know what I mean? But I think he helps, and he comes here and he gives you a lot of what the Kings need. Mm-hmm. The one thing about it is he does a lot in the Warriors offense that Domas does in the Kings offense. So how much of that are you going to take out of Domas' hands and hand over to Draymond Green? But I think those are things that Mike Brown can figure out. And Jay, I'm not like, I'm here for it. You know what I mean? Like I said, he's not at the top of my list, but if that's, you know, the NBA free agency, it's not like the Kings get first pick at whoever they want. They go out there and they compete with the other 29 teams that are trying to sign these guys. You know what I mean? If the first, second, third guy on my wish list or however the order might fall isn't there, would I be satisfied with getting a Draymond Green? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And even with all the BS and even with him having stomped on Domas's chest, look, man, Dennis Rodman put a scar in Scottie Pippen's chin that's still there to this day. And a couple years later, they played on the same team and went on to win 3 championships together. Mm. Domas can get over it too. You know what I mean? And whatever hard feelings you have as a Kings fan, you can get over it too. If Draymond comes here and puts on the purple and black and helps you do some big things as an organization, that's all that matters, man.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think a couple of things for me is nastiness, toughness, the oomph. I think the Kings definitely need that type. You know, when it comes, for me, besides Trey Lyles, Malik Monk, Davion Mitchell, I think they lack that. You know, I don't think they have that toughness, the oomph to it. The familiarity of Mike Brown, which you talked about, right? Creator, something that I keep pushing here for the Sacramento Kings. Sometimes you got to take the ball out of De'Aaron's hand, and sometimes the ball, as we've seen in the playoffs quite a bit, is not going to be in Domas' hand. You need a third creator. Rebounding, come on now. Single-handedly, Kayvon Looney almost beat the Sacramento Kings.
Yep.
On the glass, Windex. I mean, dude was cleaning the glass all playoffs on the Sacramento Kings. And this other thing, too, you take a piece of the competition, Rami. You put a chink in the competition's armor.
Yep.
Right up the road, Pacific Division, someone you're going to have to deal with. I mean, you're taking one of their own, right, and making them your own.
Mm-hmm.
For me, though, this is the only thing I would worry about with Draymond. 33 years old, but we know he's not the defender he used to be, right? We know that. There's been a drop-off, I would say, the last year and a half. Who knows why? Sometimes you just don't know what you're going to get with Draymond. I think he's a controlled nemesis. I think he knows what he's doing. He controls it. But the one thing for me with the Sacramento Kings I think is a little interesting, Rami, you tell me what you think is, he might be a little overpowering for what the Kings have down at the Golden One. And I say that, I led off with the
personality
nastiness.
Personality-wise?
Yeah, because I'm not exactly sure some of them guys down there can handle what Draymond is really coming in and asking for. That's something we always hear from all the media, the insiders, about how Draymond is, look, in your face. I'm not exactly sure, just knowing what I know happens down at Golden One, some of those guys might not be built for that.
And I don't know that a lot of guys are going to.
That's a great point.
Are going to take that from a guy who just walked in the locker room. You know what I mean? Like, it's a lot easier. It's almost like if you have like a brother or a close friend from a very young age who might have a bit of an abrasive personality, but that's who you've always known them to be. And you know how to deal with that. You know that it's not always as harsh as it might come. You know what I mean? Like, so you understand that person and you can deal with that personality much easier if it's just what you've always known. Mm. When it's a new relationship and a guy comes in with that type of personality, that's a challenging thing. That would be a challenging thing for anywhere Draymond goes that's not Golden State, that's not Steph and Clay and Steve Kerr, all the guys that have known him since the first day he walked in this league and have been working with him since the first day he walked in this league. Mm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that would be a challenge, I think, for anybody who signed Draymond Green. But the Kings are probably more equipped to deal with that because of Mike Brown, who could, A, cushion the blow for those guys in the locker room, and B, also, I think, be able to rein Draymond in a little bit if he's rubbing people the wrong way.
Straight up.
You know what I mean? Yeah, Brown. Thank you.
Yeah, Brown.
Thank you. Exactly. It's Cattles and Robbie J in for Cattles today. Right after this, a lot of people thought something might happen in Portland last night. It did not. So where does Rip City go from here?
Cattles and Robbie.
Sacktown Sports. With you 1 mile at a time during the afternoon drive. Cattles and Robbie.
Sacktown Sports.
What is this? I like this.
Jermaine Dupri.
Oh, man. JD.
All right. Is this some old Jermaine Dupri, or is this something I should know?
2006 really? Or 2007.
Really?
I love this song. I'm glad you guys like it, too.
Like E-40 said, anything over 20 years old is a classic.
Man, doesn't that make not you feel old, though? Yet.
Oh, yeah, for me, for sure, now. Yeah.
I told you guys, like, it dawned on me, I don't know, within the last year, like, that when I was going to high school, classic rock, which I loved at the time and still love today, was like stuff from the 70s, Beatles, Zeppelin, Jimi Hendrix, everything else. And I was like, so kids my age then, now, their classic rock is the stuff that was new when I was that age, like Nirvana and Pearl Jam and all the other stuff.
Vintage, yeah.
And I felt very, very old. when I had that realization. Kyle, you don't have to put on headphones and a microphone to make me feel
it's
older.
It's his birthday. It's
okay. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Kyle, you young
kiddo.
I heard
you want to get your learner's permit to get behind the wheel.
All I wanted to say is, yes, Nickelback is our classic rock
wow.
now.
Oh, my
I was never
God.
In the Nickelback, okay? And that's, come on, that's ridiculous.
He's trying to stunt you out, Rami.
They got a couple bangers. I'm not gonna lie.
I agree. I had to pipe down because I agree. I'm with you, Rami. And I get a lot of heat for that on Twitter.
Nickelback, from what I know, I mean, I couldn't name a Nickelback song from a quarterback, but
sure.
They're huge, right? So
yeah,
we get that part.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, we will be rejoining with some Nickelback. Believe that.
I'm still not going to know it. I'm just going to think it's a rock song.
So, Jay, yesterday people thought there might be some kind of movement with the number three pick and something had to give with the Dame Lillard situation, who doesn't want to leave Portland but also doesn't want to be part of a rebuild, doesn't want to play with a young guy. But nothing happened. They drafted Scoot Henderson, and it appears things are moving forward as is. And you can throw in the fact that Jeremy Grant is expected to command $30+ million annually in free agency and up to
that.
5 years. 5 years, $150 million potentially on the table. Adrian Wojnarowski says there is no magic trade to make Portland a contender anytime soon. And this is what Shams had to say on the Stadium Draft Show last night.
I'm told a timeline for where the future will land with Damian Lillard likely extends now between here, this point tonight, and the start of free agency and potentially even into free agency, and just seeing exactly what Portland is able to do. And if Portland is unable to make a meaningful move and enough to improve the team, Lillard has made it clear behind the scenes, from what I'm told, also publicly, that he doesn't want to come back into a rebuilding situation.
So now the deadline has been pushed back. All this time we thought it was by trade night, because that's deadlines make things happen, right, Jay? And they had a very big asset with the number three pick that could have made something happen, whether that be to trade Dame Lillard or to trade that number three pick and get something or someone to come and help Dame Lillard try and win a championship. Now Shams is saying that the timeline has been pushed back. Do you think anything changes in this Portland situation, or is Dame just going to have to go at it this year with Scoot and Jeremy Grant at 5 years, $150 million, and Shaedon Sharpe as well?
Well, shouts out to Jeremy Grant for getting his bag if he does get that
bag.
Sir.
I mean, absolutely.
Look, I salute anyone. You pay with your worth, I guess, right? Or excuse me, you're worth what someone will pay you. I said that wrong. At this point, Rami, for me, man, Dame has come out publicly, as Shams just said, that, and I go back to he had three conversations, because I cut the sound for you and Nick, within the same week, where he said he was not going through a rebuild and he did not want to play with a youngster. He made that very, very clear on the podium twice and in an interview one-on-one. He made sure of that. And if I'm not mistaken, even in a Mark Spears piece that was on paper, that he said, look, I don't want to play for a rebuild. At this point, Rami, we either have to have we meaning Dame and the Blazers, we either have to understand that this relationship is going to continue or it's not. That's what's best. It's almost toxic at this point, right? He's almost in a toxic relationship, and I get it, and I understand. My mom used to tell me this all the time, Rami, and I say this to my daughter. I'm pretty sure we've all had this situation, everyone who's listening. You're going to have people come in and out of your life throughout your life, and some of them are going to be difficult to let go, and some of them are going to be super easy, and some of them you should have did it 20 years ago, right? That's where we at with Portland. We're either going to be together for the next couple of years and understand we're trying to build on it, or we got to move on. We have to. Dame is the greatest Portland Trailblazer in my mind.
Yeah.
I think it comes down to him and Clyde Drexler.
I was going to say Clyde might have a case.
Yeah, Bill didn't play long enough. Bill Walton, he didn't play for Trailblazers long enough. But for me, my money is Dame. It sounds crazy that we're talking about an 11-year vet in Portland having to step away, but it may be time. And if not, just as quick as you've publicly come out and say you do not want to, is he said it many years ago, and we see by his actions, he doesn't want to leave Portland. Mm-hmm. And we keep hearing conflicting reports. He does not want to leave Portland. I happen to know contacts and stuff. His family loves it. His wife loves Portland. They love it up that way. But professionally, you either have to take this relationship a step further and go all in, or we're going to have to spread love. And I love you, but I love you from afar.
And I think if he really wants out, Jay, if he really doesn't want to be a part of this thing moving forward and he really wants out, as persistent as he was, he never just came out and said, trade me.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And that's when you look at all these superstars who got out of the situation that they were in, that they didn't want to be in, they had to hurt some feelings.
Yes.
Including in the fan base. Because to this point, Dame has said, look, I love being in Portland, but I don't want to be part of a rebuild and I don't want to play with young guys. So if he's traded, every Blazers fan is going to say, Dame wanted to be a Blazer to the end, but the Blazers didn't give him what he wanted.
Very true.
You know what I mean? The day he comes out and says, I can't do this anymore, trade me, he's going to hurt some feelings, and he's going to lose some people. But I think that's what it's going to take for the Blazers to actually trade him. I think that they're holding him there because he hasn't done that yet, and he hasn't forced their hand yet. And as long as he does that, they know they're going to keep selling tickets.
Right.
They know that he's going to keep on putting on a good show, and they know that to some degree, if you put an okay enough team around him and a young okay enough team around him that's going to grow and develop and get better, that you can be at least somewhat competitive. You know right. what I mean? And I don't think the Blazers really care about much more than that at this point. Because wow. like Woj is saying, there isn't a magic trade out there. And if that's the case, unless Dame really forces me to, why am I going to trade Dame Lillard?
Yeah.
What incentive do I have to trade Dame Lillard?
Very true.
Unless I'm going to get a bounty in return that's going to help me with this rebuild. But really, I don't know that you're going to get what we're talking about. Look at some of the trades that have gone down here recently.
Bradley,
you know what I mean?
Didn't even bring a number one pick.
That's exactly the guy I was about to bring up, Jay. So I think he has to, in some people's eyes, be the bad guy. If he really wants out of there, he's going to just have to come out and say, trade me, and hurt some feelings.
Quickly, do you think Dame doesn't want to be the bad guy?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I do.
Hmm.
He loves Portland.
Yeah, he does.
He loves Blazers fans.
Family loves Portland.
You know what I mean? And he means it when he says he wants to get it done there. But
yeah.
he needs to realize it's not going to get done there. And if he's not okay with that, tell him, I got to get out of here.
Yeah.
Not I have preferences. You know, I need to get out of here. I'm not playing here no more.
Man, dude's in a toxic relationship right now, man.
Yes, absolutely.
Toxic, man.
Absolutely.
Dude, shouts out to Dame, man.
I love Dame.
Dude's a beast, man.
Love that, dude.
He has put up with a lot. And no doubt he's caused some of these, you know, the conflict, as you're saying. He's caused a lot of conflict towards himself as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
For sure. You're never in a bad situation with no fault of your own.
Yeah.
That's never the case. You
Absolutely.
Know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%. Rodney Church.
Never.
Boy, you preaching out here, man.
Almost
Come
never.
Come on, brother. Pull
Almost
pit.
Never.
Pull we'll pit
hit a
game.
Quick break. After that, how did we not get to this?
Cattles.
And Rami.
Sactown Sports. We didn't miss it.
See right there. You see that?
I think that.
We just chose not to tell you.
Well, we're ready now.
It's how did we not get into it?
Get into it.
Yeah, every Friday, there's always a story that slips through the cracks. And that's what this segment is for. That's why it's called How Did We Not Get Into It? And Jay, there's potentially a big fight.
Uh-oh.
On the horizon.
Canelo, Charlo?
Not quite that big.
Okay, they've already signed September. You gonna watch it?
Not quite that big.
You in? You out?
Canelo and who?
Charlo. One of Charlo twins.
I don't know who that is.
Okay.
And is Canelo still good?
Yeah.
Okay. Still, right. still beating people up?
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
Good for him.
All right.
Still cashing checks, I'm assuming. Right?
Big checks.
Okay, good.
The hands are still buy one, get one?
Some, yeah.
Okay.
Quite a bit.
All right.
Yeah,
and
he just signed with PBC, so he's three-fight deal, big check.
More money.
Big money.
More money, good for him.
That dude's balling.
No, Jay, I'm talking about two of the world's most high-profile technology billionaires. Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg have agreed to fight each other in a cage match.
Celebrity boxing fight.
Mr. Musk posted a message on his social media platform that he was, quote, up for a cage fight with Mr. Zuckerberg. Mr. Zuckerberg, the boss of Facebook and Instagram parent company Meta, then posted a screenshot of Elon Musk's tweet with the caption, quote, send me location. The story speaks for itself, a Meta spokesperson told the BBC. Elon Musk then replied to Zuckerberg's response with Vegas Octagon.
Drop that pin.
The Octagon is, of course, the Madden fenced-in area that the UFC uses.
Yes.
So, Jay?
Wait, who said drop that pin? Zuckerberg? Or was it Musk? That sounded like Musk something.
He
Musk
said,
would
send
say.
Me location.
Who was that?
That was Zuckerberg? That was Zuckerberg,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, okay. Drop yeah. that pin. I got some heat
for
you.
Zuckerberg wants that smoke. He wants that smoke, man. He said, send me the location. I'll come there right now and smack you up.
You ain't about that life.
Mr. Twitter, I'll come over there right now. In my Tesla, I will drive the car you created over to your house and smack you around, is what Mark Zuckerberg said. So, Jay, Zuckerberg versus Musk. Who you got?
I'm gonna take Elon, man.
Really?
Yeah. I think the weight difference is gonna be big. I'm not.
Do I have
suppressing.
A tail of the tape here?
Yeah,
I need
I'm not
a
suppressing
I need a
Zuckerberg.
Tail of the tape. Hold on. I'll find it. Go ahead. Give me your breakdown.
Yeah, I'm going Musk just because I think they're in different weight classes.
Mm-hmm.
I think Musk has the weight advantage. And don't get me wrong.
Choose your fighter.
Right, I love it. Smaller guys definitely can be the bigger guy. But I think Musk has a little more like oomph to him. You know, Zuckerberg to me is that type of cat that sits behind a computer and he's typing on the numbers. And I'm not saying Musk isn't, but I think Musk is in enough funk that he understands that one day he might have to put his paws up. Zuckerberg, for me, a little weaselish, kind of just a little bit.
Okay, I have the tail of the tape.
Give it to me, brother.
Right. Elon Musk.
Who, first of all, who put this out?
Elon Musk
I see you on
did.
Twitter.
Elon Musk?
Really?
Oh, you World mean the tail star. Of the tape? I don't know who this guy
okay,
is.
Okay, gotcha.
I don't know that I want to give him any pub. And it's everywhere. The first tweet I found with it on there. But there are a bunch of them. Elon Musk, 51 years old, 6 feet, 2 inches. He is 100 and... Oh, no, that can't
nah,
be
that's
right.
That's not right.
That's not what I'm... They're giving me his IQ and all this other... No, I want their size, man.
This isn't a chess match.
Here we go. Now I got it.
Oh, here we go.
6'2", 187. Mark Zuckerberg, 5'8", 154.
Oof, that's 3-4 divisions off there, brother.
Yeah, it is. Now, according to these two guys... I know. I've seen video of Zuckerberg in jiu-jitsu tournaments.
Yes.
And he's placed in a few of them. First, second place.
Is that like the, you know, the rich guy syndrome, though, that like no one wants to really hurt him and fight him? It's
there
like the
go.
King, like, you know, participating in jousting or something.
I'm just
he might have paid off a few judges, too. You know, he might be greasing some palms on the back end, Simone. I'm with you, brother.
And
I'm with you.
I haven't seen video, but I have seen Elon Musk in like karate and jiu-jitsu outfits. I've never seen
it's a pump fake for the show.
I don't know. I haven't seen actual video. I'm telling. I don't. If it's out there, send it to me. But I've seen Zuckerberg in action. He seems to know his way around a mat. Jay, he does seem to know his way around a mat. There's something to be said for that.
Yeah, very true. I'm with you on that.
You still going Musk?
Yeah, I'm still going Musk.
All right.
Yeah. Options, brother. Options. Remember the word of the day. The Sacramento Kings have options. I have options. I'm going to Elon Musk.
That is a weight advantage.
Yeah.
That is quite the weight advantage that Elon's got. Size, weight, the whole thing. I don't know. I think Zuckerberg's feisty. I bet he's feisty in there.
I would imagine.
You know what I mean?
I would imagine.
And, give me Elon, too.
You got Elon, too?
Yeah.
I'm taking Elon.
He's really? Got a little dog in him. I don't know.
I think so, too. Yeah, a little nastiness.
Personally, I don't think either one knows how to throw a punch.
Well, I mean, if they've both been training.
But jiu-jitsu.
Allegedly.
And... Not mixed martial arts. They're not throwing punches. They're grappling.
I got you.
Is there punching in jiu-jitsu? I don't know.
I just see like a rage in Elon that I don't see. And maybe that's because
of there's
the
a rage
social
in
network.
Zuckerberg.
I don't know. But like he was so, at least that portrayal.
There's a rage
I think
in
that's
there.
Why I'm giving
there's,
Elon.
There's a kid who was bullied in there. I would bet.
Mm. Yeah.
I would bet.
Give me Musk.
I think I'm going Zuck. I think I'm taking Zuck. I think it would surprise you. I think it might surprise you. And he's and he's the one who said, send me the location, like I said, and I'll come smack you up right now.
Dropped a pee.
Is what he told Elon Musk. That's a dude who's pretty confident that he's going to win that fight.
That's true.
Right?
That's true.
Right? There's something to be said for that.
Or he could be the loud cat that's out there in the pump faking, too. You know? So I don't know. I don't know which way to take it.
I wish they would. I wish they would, and it'd be like a charity or something, but of course not.
Oh, man, they should donate the money. No one else needs to put any money in except for them two.
Yes.
I wouldn't mind seeing either one get punched in the face. I'm not going to lie.
Truth.
We'll hit a quick break, and then we'll get back to the Kings and got a little money now.
Again?
We're going shopping, Jay.
Oh.
Options. Yes, sir. Options next on Cattles and Robbing.
Cattles and Robbing. Cattles and Robbing.
Sactown Sports.